How's it going, everyone? Hope you're all well. Yeah, it's all good here. Pubs are back open. Woohoo! Go Poland! that's great. Had a pint yesterday on Monday. So that's only one, though. I might go for another one during the week. There was a whole 12 tables in the pub, only 6 were at it, so I think people are obviously still being cautious. I hope you're all looking after yourselves well. And yeah, what's happening? Not much. I'm going to... wait, it'll be a couple of weeks, I'd say, before I have a new website out where I'm going to put everything together. So all the writing, all the woodwork, and the podcast stuff too. But the podcast, you won't have to change anything, so don't worry about it. Yeah, thanks. Some people have got in touch about the stories, so thanks for that. People are liking them, so I'm going to keep doing them. And yeah, I think we're going to keep doing the Poland podcast for a while anyway. So let's get into this story then. My brother Tom. This story took place in January this year. It was about a year since my husband and I first met and we went on our first date. We fell madly in love and we married 3 months later. My brother Tom died last year at my house while I was at work. We had been doing some work on the roof and there was scaffolding covering the outside of the house. I was still living at home with our mother and the poor woman discovered his body in the backyard. He had fallen or jumped from the scaffolding. At work I received a phone call from my uncle telling me to get home as quickly as I could. He couldn't tell me why, but I could hear my mom crying in the background. Deep down I think I knew that Tom was gone. He had been in a bad place a few weeks prior to him being found by my mom, and whether he fell or jumped, I don't think we'll ever know, to be honest. Tom had been addicted to drugs for a while. He had been out of it though and seemed to have kicked the habit, but you know how it is with addicts, there's always a chance of them relapsing. He'd also had a miserable failed marriage and he moved back in with us following the breakup. He just couldn't seem to get his life back on track. He'd get a job and mess it up, get fired or fall out with his boss. He wasn't using drugs, but it always seemed to loom above him and that he could relapse after one bad decision. It could all be traced back to when he was in high school and he got blamed for a crime. He was hanging out with some rich kids and they all broke into their headmaster's house one night while drunk, stole an Xbox and some money. Us being working class, we couldn't afford a good lawyer. Tom was sent to juvie while the other kids got off with warnings. During the trial, it was made look like Tom was the ringleader. We all know it wasn't true. Poor Tom was a pretty impressionable kid at the time and he certainly wasn't the leader. If anyone was going to be the fall guy though, it was Tom. He'd been a bright, shy kid. We were always suspicious that these rich jocks were just hanging around with Tom because he could help them with their homework. Or sure, maybe he was even probably doing it for them. But he seemed happy with them, so we just let it be. Anyway, they turned on him when it came time for the case and he ended up having to serve time in juvie. When he came out, he was never really the same again and he wouldn't really speak about what went on in there. Anyway, I'm getting off the point. I drove home as quickly as I could, only to walk into what seemed like a horror movie. My younger sister was there and she was crying hysterically. She was being held by my mother. My Aunt Therese and Uncle Matt were there and what seemed like the entirety of the local police force. Even the state pathologist was present too. I remember always having an out-of-body experience as they bagged up Tom's body and placed him on a trolley before putting him in the ambulance. This was really hard to take. If he'd been placed in a hearse, it wouldn't have looked so bad. But since Tom had a history of drug arrest, they wanted to rule out an overdose. We didn't even realise at the time that we could have said no. I'm the youngest of the family and Tom doted on me, and I loved him dearly too. My mom was nearly 42 years old when she had me. But Tom was 42 when he fell. Or jumped. It's hard not to feel like he wasted the last 16 years of his life. Look, he can blame the rich kids, but he was in the house that night. He didn't have to be there. And he sure as hell could have gotten his life back on track in those 16 years that followed. Sorry if that sounds heartless. I just wish I could have helped more, or that he could have helped himself more, or gotten the help he needed. It's hard not to get pissed off thinking about it. Months passed by and life went on and seemed to get back to a normal rhythm. And before we knew it, it was New Year's Eve. That's when I met Dan, my husband. I was a waitress in a bar and Dan was at a party. We hit it off immediately and he took me out on our first date the next day. He was slightly hungover after the festivities, but I knew within the first few minutes that I'd be spending the rest of my life with him. I even introduced him to Amy, my daughter. Her dad had died in a car accident 5 years ago, and while she was usually shy around strangers, she seemed to like Dan instantly. Well, 2 weeks from our first date, he got down on one knee and popped the question. That weekend, he moved in with me and Amy and Mom, and I thought I couldn't have been happier. We were soon married, and then that's when the weird stuff began to happen. I came home from work one day, and Dan was as white as a ghost. I asked what was wrong, and he sheepishly told me that things around the house had been moved. I thought he was joking and said something like, "Oh, did Mom get out of bed before 11 a.m. this morning?" He didn't laugh. That night, I woke up suddenly and could hear what seemed like a party going on in the living room downstairs. The alarm clock read 3:33 a.m. My mom had left during the day to visit her sister 2 towns over, and nobody else was there with us. Even Amy was at a sleepover. I thought we were going to be in for a night of romance and wine, although Dan was still a bit freaked out. I couldn't really make out what was being said between the voices, or Wemby was one voice. I really don't know what was going on in the room below us, but it seemed like there was more than a few voices. Honestly, I was just too scared to move. Whoever was down there, I certainly didn't want them, or him, or it, to know that there was people sleeping above them. I prayed it was just burglars looking to steal something to sell for dope, and that they'd leave quickly. It seemed like it went on for hours. When I looked again at the bedside clock, it read 3:38. Only 5 minutes had passed. What the hell was happening? The next morning, I got up and went to work like I always did. During the whole drive, I was going over the previous night in my head, wondering about what had happened and what it could have been. Nothing was stolen. The room was exactly as we left it, and there's no way it was a dream. I couldn't have imagined it. I mean, I couldn't have. I finished work and collected Amy from school. We had dinner and I helped her with her homework. Then Dan played a bit with her, some dolly stuff and whatnot. And when she went to bed, we sat down and watched some TV. I told Dan about my experience from the night before. He said he hadn't heard anything, but confided in me that he thought the house was haunted. "You know, stuff's been moved around now for a while," he said. "And I've always just thought it was your mom, you know, her house rules kind of thing, and just thought nothing of it. But then it was stuff I knew she wouldn't move, like how my books were arranged on shelves, and I know she doesn't have any interest in the types of books I read. Like, and as well, like what way the potted plants were facing, and weird, like small things like that." We pretty much sat in silence for the rest of the night, but we held hands until we went to bed. During the night, I was awoke by Dan kicking and struggling in the bed. He seemed like he was trying to scream and was moving like he was wrestling something. I was so scared I couldn't make out if he was dreaming or what the hell was going on. It was really dark and I couldn't see very well. I tried to turn on the bedside light and didn't work. I jumped out of bed and turned on the ceiling light beside the door, and it didn't go on either. The only light I had was the flashlight on my phone. Finally, Dan starts screaming my name and tells me he's been trying to wake me up for ages. And just then behind me, I saw Amy standing in the doorway, and she was petrified with fear. When she saw me, she let out a scream. "Tom!" she shouted. "Leave Dan alone!" The three of us ran out of the room, put on our coats and ran to the car. That night, we stayed in a local motel. The night clerk gave us a funny look as we were checking in, us all wearing our pajamas, but we weren't in any mood to tell him what we were running from. Dan told us he'd been awoken during the night and something had seized him and he'd been trying to fight it off. He said it was almost impossible. Whatever he was fighting was invisible and incredibly strong. I asked Amy why she had shouted Tom. Amy had barely said a word since we left the house, and she was still as white as a ghost. "Well, because he was fighting with Dan. I could see Tom on top of Dan. Couldn't you?" The next day, I just couldn't go to work, so I called in sick. My boss wasn't happy and accused me of lying, so I changed tact and I said, "Look, Jeff, I'm sorry. It's Tom's birthday today and I just can't face the world." At that, he said sorry and that he understood and wished me well for the day. I called Mom and told her what happened. Straight away, she got her sister to bring her to our crummy hotel. That night, she and I returned home, leaving Dan and Amy in the hotel. We sat around for a while. We didn't really know what we were aiming to do. I decided to make some tea and my mom went for a shower. After, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, I thought she was taking a little too long, so I went to get her. The shower was running, but she wasn't in there. She was sitting on her bed, naked, soaking wet, with her back to me. I said, "Mom?" There was no answer. I walked closer and saw over her shoulder that she was holding a photo of Tom. I touched her on the shoulder and she jerked quickly. What am I doing here?" she asked. "Last thing I remember, I was getting into the shower. I don't know, I think I heard Tom's voice." That night, neither of us got much sleep, but nothing happened. The next morning, my mother had an idea.
"You know, it must be Tom has returned and he's trying to protect us. You remember how he's always jealous and protective when you got a new boyfriend? God, you've picked some losers over the years, honey. And he was always there to help you pick up the pieces when your relationships went to shit."
"Dan's a great man," I said. "Amy loves him and all you guys have accepted him and I love him, and if this is Tom's spirit or whatever, then he should be able to see that."
Maybe he doesn't see it. Maybe you need to tell him," she said.
"How?" Mom had an idea, and so we waited until night time. Just didn't seem right to do it during the day. We turned off the lights and set up in the living room.
"Cover all the mirrors," my mom said. "It's an Irish tradition to make it easier for the spirits to travel."
I did as I was told. Now, other than having a pretty common Irish surname, this was the first time I could ever remember us doing anything specifically Irish, other than drinking green beer on St. Patrick's Day, and I don't think the Irish even do that. We lit however many candles we could find and waited. Not long after, we both felt a chill in the room and some of the flames flickered. Now, yes, of course it could have been a draft, but I certainly felt a shiver go down my spine when it happened. I wasted no time.
Tom, if that's you, please give us a sign."
Suddenly, a photo of Dan and I taken on our wedding day flew across the room and smashed into the fireplace. Mom and I both screamed.
"Tom, please, Dan is a good man. I love you, Tom, and I miss you. You were a loving and caring brother and son, and we miss you dearly. You will always have a special place in our hearts, Tom. Dan isn't here to replace you. I love him and he loves me and Amy too, and my heart is big enough to love you all. Tom, I wish you weren't dead. I wish you'd gotten your life in order and life had been kinder to you, but please don't take out any of your anger that you have on Dan and me. Like, you're really scaring me and Mom and Amy."
Silence. Then, on the mantelpiece above the fire, Mom's waterford crystal vase began to...
It's difficult to explain. It wasn't moving, but it was like it was vibrating.
And more intensely, until finally it flew up off the mantelpiece and smashed against the opposite wall. Mom stood up now.
"Tom Dwyer, you listen to me, bucko. I'm your goddamn mother. I loved you, Tom, and I miss you every single day, and goddammit, you broke my heart. We tried our best to help you, even though as dirt poor as we are. We always loved you and cared for you, and you were my baby boy. I miss you so much."
Mom started to cry.
"But Tom, you have to listen to your sister. Dan is not the bad guy here. You're scaring all of us, and he's a good man who loves your sister and your niece, and even an old cranky bitch like me."
"Please, Tom," I said. "Let us live in peace. We'll always love you, and for as long as any of us are alive, your memory will be too." The flames flickered, and the room grew warmer all of a sudden. If whatever this was Tom, he was gone.
Ooh, spooky ghost story, huh? Grant, sure, back during the week.
I never know how to end these fucking things. Maybe I should just end it at the end. I don't know.
Suggestions, please, on a postcard to Spud the Irish Guy in Poland. That'll find me. good luck. I hope you're all well, looking after each other and yourselves. And sure, look, you know, a good few listeners are back in Ireland. You don't have long to go. I know it's a bit shitty to see other countries opening up, but you'll get there. And when you do, that first pint of Guinness is going to be absolutely sublime. So, look, talk to you soon. Bye.